sit back and get ready to take off with Dynamic Golf. So, hey, welcome back, Dynamic Golf listeners. I'm your co-host, Tim McElvanna. And with me today is Sean Klotz. Sean, tell us a little bit about what's going on today.
Well, we got a special guest today, T-Mac. Pretty excited about this gentleman, Coach Ray Torres. He owns a business called Fit for Life, and I think it's going to be a great way to kind of expose our listeners to sort of the kind of the crossing between fitness, golf, mental strategy, you know, nutrition, sort of all those things combined that sometimes we take for granted as to why we're not getting the scores that we want, and also maybe, you know, the insight into some of what the tour players do on a daily basis that makes them, you know, so good. So, hey, Ray, we're really happy to have you.
Yeah, welcome, Ray.
Well, Tim and John, it's a pleasure to be on with you guys. I'm super excited. I've been nonstop talking about this all day.
That's great to hear. I'm glad you're pumped and excited. We're excited over here as well. You know, with the off season coming up for golf, I figured this is a great way for some of our listeners to kind of get a little bit, you know, stronger in the off season, kind of work on their mental preparation and other things like that, you know, for those things.
Yes. So all good things.
So you've been doing personal coaching and group coaching for what, about 15 years now or so?
Yep, going on 16 this year. Became legitimized last year, and that's when I started the Fifth of Life company.
Great.
And I've just been doing that since last year. LLC, you know, tax, everything taken care of. So we are totally legit.
Great. I love it. So also I saw in your bio, you're a little bit, you come from a little bit of a different sport. You're a golf enthusiast, but, your love for sport was boxing. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tim, as you remember, we were in high school together many, many decades ago.
Yes.
And, it's very strange for me now to see a lot of these high school athletes that don't cross over to other sports. You know, we grew up playing different kinds of sports. If it wasn't baseball, we were going to soccer. If it wasn't soccer, we were going to football. So, you know, I think a lot of the cross training for athletes has diminished a bit throughout the years.
Well, I think you get onto a good point. I think a lot of students or parents now try to get them hyper focused onto one sport, and don't, you know, as you said, don't have them crossed over.
Yes, sir.
So Ray, I mean, again, you know, I'm 53, T-Mac younger than myself, so that means you're a little bit younger as well. But it is that thing, right? I mean, we did. We went down, you know, we sound like the old guys, Ray, but like we went down to the ball field, we went to the basketball court.
Yes, sir.
We went to the golf course. Like, you didn't need a formalized club or the travel teams or whatever, right? You just went and played with your friends, and mom told you to be home at dark, and you were home at dark type of thing. And as you read and you kind of like listen to just the elite athletes, like Wayne Gretzky's one of them, Jerry Rice is another one, Pele. There was a documentary a couple of years ago I watched with my daughter, and it was so perfectly said that the reason why these guys were so good is because their hand-eye coordination, their balance, which is part of your boxing world, mm-hmm. is part of our golf world. Like, their body awareness, they knew what they were doing in different, almost different motions, right? So it wasn't so specific to just throwing a pitch 100 miles an hour, you know, 80 times a game.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I quote Jack Nicklaus.
Okay.
Yeah, when I speak to people, especially about golf fitness, you know, Jack is one of the best, you know, and he's been known to say that he's been able, in the middle of the swing, he's been able to think of multiple things at one time and still execute that swing perfectly. You know, whether it was grip pressure, whether it was hips not aligned, whether he threw too much left leg in it, but before he even made contact with the ball. And I feel that came a lot from not just him being a great golfer, just being a great athlete.
Yeah.
He played baseball. He played basketball. He played football.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think he got a scholarship at Ohio State for basketball, wasn't it? If I'm correct.
Yes, he did. So, yes, he did.
I mean, what a hell of an athlete right there.
Again, I was telling, I think I was telling T-Mac this, like, I just recently watched, they did a SportsCenter special on Patrick Mahomes, and it was amazing watching him play basketball in high school. And he said, you know, he's like, quarterback's not much different than being a point guard. It's really just dispersing, you know, distributing the ball to a different place in a different spot. And, you know, he couldn't dunk, but he, like, went up over somebody in a game because he kind of had the adrenaline in him. Like, it, again, it's just, like, don't be so, like, cordoned off in your thinking that you can only swing one way. We'll bring it back to golf, right? You can only putt one way. How many grips do we see on the golf course? Yeah.
You know, I go to this gentleman many years ago. You know, I'm a self-taught golfer. I started working at a local course called it's called Silverado now, but it was you know, a different name back in the day. Yeah, and that's where I got Silver Oaks. That's where I got my love for golf. Yeah. But I remember there was a pro out there, and he even told me this was pre-internet, pre-videos and everything. You don't want to listen to everybody. You just want to listen to yourself.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that till I really started getting into golf and finding my swing.
Right.
Yeah. I've probably had one coach in my life, and that is the Rick Smith DVD from the Golf Channel from 2002.
Yeah,
that is it's so bad, but I still have it, and I hope to one day meet Mr. Smith and tell him thank you for his great coaching.
That's good. So, you know, when you work with some golfers, Ray, are there any, like, you know, specific things that you kind of, you know, try to translate from boxing kind of into the golf and stuff like this as far as your approach to training or helping these individuals as you go through with your training with them?
Absolutely. So just like boxing and golf, it's an individual sport. So I always approach it in that manner.
Okay.
And because you've got no one else to lean on except yourself. In boxing, it's the opponent on the other side of the ring. In golf, it's the golf course you're trying to beat, and the golf course is trying to beat you.
Yeah.
Keep that frame of mind that you want the victory. You don't want the golf course to get the upper hand on you.
So I guess my question to Sean right now is why did you go with golf instead of boxing if you wanted a personal sport? That's just a little joke between me and Sean because he always wanted the personal individual attention, but you know,
yeah. Also a wussy too. So, yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to do it either, but that's great. You know, I never really kind of thought about boxing and golf in the same way, but you're absolutely right. It is an individual sport. It is you against an opponent. In golf, it is the golf course. In boxing, it is the opponent. But that's a great analogy right there, Ray.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir, John.
I mean, the training, right? You know, when you're training for boxing, and yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not what you guys are. I'm not even close to that type of athlete, but that I'm going to really be, I could get in trouble, like people talking about Caddyshack for us when they talk about golfers. But when you watch Rocky, like literally when you watch, like when you think of like how dedicated the boxers are to their, the fight night is just part of the deal, right?
The
6 months to a year and a half beforehand, getting up at 5 a.m., literally drinking the eggs or whatever you want to call it. You know, you don't get the glory during those times, and that's when you got to do all that stuff. Just like us golfers, like we have to get up and we have to go chip and putt for 2 hours, and go hit balls for 2 hours, and go maybe play 9 holes. We're not playing 18 holes. It's not the way that Tiger ever really got ready for a major. It was always about the practice, the stuff you're putting into it, on the times when the camera's not there. Bottom line, right?
Yeah.
Yep. It's that individual work to get you ready. Normally, so if I was prepping a fighter or a golfer, I would want them to give me 90 days before their first tournament.
Yep.
And
Minimum. Yeah.
Yep. So I could get them in tune with what they need to do, and that is to win.
There you go.
You know, we The sport is fun. It's a great sport. But if you're going to make it to the professional level and be at that level, it's to win. It's not to hold hands and be kumbaya. And forgive me for saying that. And forgive me, gentlemen, because sometimes I may not be so PC.
That's fine.
That's the way I've always felt. It's one of those things.
That's another tiger thing.
I was about to say, it seems like a very tiger-esque kind of way of thinking, right?
Tim, what was that like? Maybe even, I don't know, sometime this year, a reporter asked him, you know, is it the British Open or wherever he's at? And like, Tiger, do you really think you can win? He's like, and he just looks at the guy deadpan like, why would you think I'm here? Like, there's no other reason to come unless I thought I could win. And that, what you're saying is so perfect. We're not trying to play for fifth place, right?
No. Who wants to play for fifth place?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know. But it's that whole mindset, you know. I mean, it's amazing just, you know, having that mindset for Tiger. Even though the body isn't there anymore, the mindset is still there. And that's training. That's discipline. You know, it's what Coach Ray is talking about right here, having that mindset and hammering it in.
Absolutely. No one picked Tiger to win the Masters a few years ago.
Right.
Everybody wrote him off, but what'd he do? Went out there and won the Masters again.
Yep.
You know, when him and Rocco were having that battle for the U.S. Open many, many years ago, he was playing on a broken leg.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, he's...
Yep. And they had to finish the game on Monday.
Yeah, go play 18 more.
Broken knee.
That's it. Yeah, so
that's that fusion of mental. That's the fusion of mental and physical. Then, right? Again, in your sport, at times.
Absolutely, but I love the a good coach, Coach Jason. Many years ago, he gave me this. He gave me this jewel. He said, "Boxing is 80% mental and 20% physical," and I transfer that to the golf course as well.
Yeah.
Because we have to read the greens. We have to see how it's running on the fairway. We got to see how the sand is flowing that day. Can I go for it? Can I not go for it? Is my swing going to? Am I shanking it left? You know, am I going to play with that? You know, how am I going to get out of this rut? And so, for me, golf is the same way as boxing: 80% mental, 20% physical. The physical aspect of it is for, and forgive me for saying it this way. For me, it's been easy. I've always been an active person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I deal with golfers that are not active, you know, and they just want to, you know, get better, a couple of things I go through is, are you drinking while you're playing your round?
Yeah.
And
not vodka and soda, right? We're talking about.
Yeah. What are you drinking? Yep. So, and that's always going to have an effect, you know. Yep.
Staying hydrated.
There's time for adult beverages after the round if you want to play good.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
No.
You know, are there, you know, with the, you know, the fitness side of it, you know, how, you know, you're touching on the performance of it, you know, what are some other key aspects, you know, just not just hydration, but could you touch into a little bit of like maybe the nutrition, like what should a golfer throughout a round maybe eat, snacks or anything like that? Would that be kind of induce it for a good round?
Absolutely. I'm a snacker.
Okay.
So, but I don't want to bust out a complete sandwich out on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
I always recommend something decent in the morning before your round, a small breakfast, nothing too greasy, maybe some egg whites, a nice whole wheat bagel. And definitely, I'm a fan of Gatorade. Some folks aren't.
Okay.
Some folks aren't a fan of you know, the sports drinks and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But there's some stuff that water just can't give you.
Okay.
Yep. So you know, out there, getting your electrolytes in.
Yeah.
I'm really big into fruit now.
Okay. What kind of fruit?
Yeah. I love me some apples, bananas, and oranges.
Okay.
Those are my three go-tos, and grapes. And but with grapes is the awesome thing about grapes is it's tasty and it's hydrating you at the same time.
Good.
So
point.
you're getting your natural sugar, you're getting hydration out of it, and it's good tasting. So, okay. You know, so I definitely want folks to, keep some nuts and some fruits with them, and some electrolyte, whether it be Propel, that's out there as well too. If folks don't like Gatorade, I'm a watered down Gatorade kind of guy,
Gotcha.
Because in Florida, nothing stays cold when you got it in the cooler. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No, not at all.
No.
Well, does it have too much sugar, Ray? I know it's a specific question, but that's the thing you hear about Gatorade comparatively to some of the other ones. Is it okay because you are doing exercise and you are working? You see the NFL athletes doing it,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A trainer, another trainer gave this jewel to me. He said, when Gatorade tastes funny, you're hydrated. When it
Okay.
tastes
Oh, that's good.
delicious. Like, it's like, oh my God, you're dehydrated.
Oh.
That's really good. That makes sense too, because I know that I've, like you said, pick it up in the store, driving or something, and you're like, oh, this isn't very good.
This isn't very good. But
Yeah.
after a good workout
Yeah.
or in the middle of a round, you're like, damn, that's tasty. I need another one of those,
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a
So
great
that
point.
was a Yeah, that was a jewel that another trainer gave me, because I had, we asked these questions amongst each other, and he said, he said, yeah, if it tastes good, you're dehydrated. If it doesn't taste good, you're hydrated. Drink water.
Nice.
Yeah.
So hey, I got 15 minutes, Ray, right? I'm
Okay.
gonna be one of those listeners who I've got 15 minutes in the morning. We can always find more time. That's the biggest excuse that I hear and you hear as far as why people don't work out or practice, right? I don't have the time.
Absolutely.
Well, okay, you got 15 minutes in the world. You can figure something out. My point is, like, if you were going to tell the listeners, okay, I've got 15 minutes, I'm going to carve it out in the morning or at night, I don't care. What is the, are you telling them to work on stretching? Are you telling them to do some specific weight training? What's the specific kind of, give me one, two, maybe three at the most, because we only got 15 minutes, things that
Gotcha.
they can do to, I'm going to go with the, increased distance in a golf swing. And basically, the way that I see my golf game as I've gotten older is I can play 12 holes really well, but those last four or five, I'm not playing as well because I'm not in as good a shape as I was or whatever. So, big open-ended question, but kind of fill that in if you can.
No problem. So if a client comes to me, or an individual or a friend, and they ask me that same question, the first thing I'm going to tell them is work on your putting.
Okay.
Okay.
Work on your putting. Because putting, we what do we do, gentlemen? We drive for show, and what do? We putt for dough. Now, if they will say, I do that, I work on my golf swing and stuff like that. What can I do for the 15 minutes that I've got in the morning? Definitely work on your flexibility.
Okay.
Work on your flexibility. And this is for anyone. If you are having difficulty touching your toes, you're struggling with your flexibility. I'm 49 years old, gentlemen, and I can still touch my toes.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time, me and T-Mac, on some of the podcasts, and even just when we work together. It's amazing how, and you don't, like you said, right, you don't want to be like not PC, but you got to tell Mr. Smith or Mrs. Smith, you're not only out of shape, you have no flexibility. So the fact that you think that you're going to hit a golf ball as well as I do, and the time that we put into this thing,
Yes,
like,
sir.
and I don't care. To me, Ray, I'm glad you said flexibility, because I was kind of leading you there. Like, I think it's like, I don't care what you do, but get out of bed and do something. Does that make
Yes,
sense? Go walk
absolutely.
around the park for 10, 15 minutes. Get a
Go
little
walk
cardio
them.
going. Get something
Yes.
going.
I just finished up a 60-day workout challenge on Facebook, where I was video potting myself going to the gym in the morning, and then I would post the workout afterwards, and my whole thing was, people get up and get active, whether it's
There you
get
go.
out there, walk the dogs, play with the kids, go to the
Yep.
gym at 6 o'clock in the morning, which
Yeah.
sucks,
Yeah.
you
Yep.
know. And I did that. I did that for a few reasons. Number one reason, I wanted to start putting myself out there in the podcast and the video cast world. Number two, I've always you know, I'm used to working out in the afternoons. That's always been my go-to. So I started the first 30 days working out at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
I wanted to change the dynamic of myself.
Right.
And I will tell you this, gentlemen, it changed a lot of things, but the one thing it really helped me with was my focus. I literally could tell you that I wouldn't get aggravated too much throughout the day.
No.
Once, if that workout was done in the morning.
That's interesting.
And if, but if I saved it for the afternoon, I would use some of the frustration I got out in the day for workout fuel.
Okay.
So I'm a different beast like that, you know. Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
Which one do I prefer? I definitely prefer afternoons instead of mornings. But when I was getting them done in the morning, I was able to accomplish a lot more in the afternoon, and I could squeeze in 9 if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boom. Yeah, Tim, do you play better, and great for you too, but do you guys have a better time of day when you play better, I guess is the question. Like, have you noticed? I know that I have a better time of day when I'm playing.
For me, it's the morning time. For me, it's always been the morning time. You know, I love the afternoon conditions where it's dry and ready to go, but I think for my mind and headspace, being out there in the morning is where I get the best work done. Right.
Yeah, Tim, I agree. I agree with that as well. I remember when I would play, you know, I would play doubles, and I'd go in for lunch after and play that second round. But I would notice that what would be funny was that my score would be better on that second round because conditions, like you said, conditions were different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you already played it once, so you remember. Oh, damn! It rolled. It rolls funky on green number 5.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go for this way, you know.
Yeah.
On hole 7, I hit it in the sand when I went for it. So I'm gonna cut down one and get in front of that sand. Yeah. So, but I'm a morning guy myself.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And
we got friends that are both, right? We got friends that and it's funny you mentioned that, Ray. Like, I got friends that play much better golf after 1 o'clock, mostly because of the alcohol consumption after 1 o'clock. Right? You know, I mean, you go play pool against some people. You know, some people are much better playing pool with a couple of drinks in them than they are, you know, without drinks in them type of thing. We call it swing oil in the industry or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But
this weekend, myself with my lady, we own our own pool table, and I was doing good for a little while there, and I messed up and said, "Hey, babe, let's have a beer." She mopped the floor with me 3 games in a row. Oh, boom, 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 boom.
So it can work both ways, huh?
I said one beer, boy. She got her eye. She caught her eye right there. Bam, 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 bam. I was like, "Wow, good game."
So Ray, what are some common exercises or drills that you kind of give some of the golfers, or would you recommend to a golfer that's listening to the podcast? What's a drill that would most benefit them?
Absolutely. Any body weight movement, body weight exercises, because we're focusing so much on our body and swinging that club.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to get in there and get on the bench and start benching 225. There's no need for that.
Not gonna do it.
I would say, focus on body weight movements, body weight push-ups, body weight squats,
mm-hmm.
Body weight lunges, anything that has to deal with your own body weight.
Wow.
And focus on that.
And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think one of the big things that me and Sean have to deal with on a day-to-day basis with some of our students is weight transfer. You know, so I think that that kind of goes hand in hand with what we kind of talk about on the podcast here. Wouldn't you agree, Sean?
Yeah, I was actually working with a young lady this morning, and I got two different stories. So working with a young lady this morning, meaning she's probably 23, 24 years old, and she comes at it from a field hockey and a softball background.
Okay.
This is her second lesson, good. Right?
Good so, athlete.
Yeah, good athlete. Now, there's, difference, right? Good athlete, but can you control your body in the way we're talking about? So
mm-hmm.
when I show her the video of her swing and she's hitting everything out to the right, which is kind of the normal thing, and it's not a slice, T-Mac, it's kind of this like you're standing next on the side of her and she's almost hitting you because the ball is coming off the toe of the club so quickly.
Okay.
But her swing path, and getting a little technical in the world, that's fine. Swing path is outside in. She's swinging across the ball left. And then I show her the shoulders, and they're so open of impact, because she's got the field hockey mentality, like almost, right hand way down the shaft.
Yeah.
Think of somebody in a field hockey position. Their shoulders are way open.
Yeah.
Yes,
And
it
I'm like,
is.
look, I said, and it's funny. I'm like, all right, we gotta change this. We gotta go the other way. It's gonna be really weird to make you swing to the right to make the ball go to the left, because right now the ball's going to
Yes.
the right because you're swinging so far left.
Yeah.
And it, you know, once you show them on video, once they see it, again, an athlete, once they see it, they're like, oh, now I understand what you're. And the other thing with that is minimal. Like our motions and golf swings. This is my tagline. One of my taglines, Ray, is pro golfers are efficient. Amateur golfers are inefficient.
Wow.
Okay? The motions that the professional golfers, they don't take four exits to get to the same part of the world. They take one exit. We take six exits. Our bad players take, they do six things on the way to the top of the backswing. When why are you making it so challenging? Like just, and it sounds so simple to us, sounds so simple to you in your world. But so those two things combined is like just being aware of where they come from, what sport they're coming from, what background they're doing, and being able to see that as a teacher, like, okay, now I understand why you do it, so we got to make it go the other way. But then just, so you just TMAC, you know what I did with it, right? I went, okay, let's go 9 to 3. Let's take a small practice swing, small chipping motion. And she's like, that's not going to be big enough. And she hit the best one of the day. That was like a little half back swing, half follow through.
And you
man.
see that glow in their eyes, like they just got
Right.
hooked by a fish. They're hooked to the game for life after that. You know that.
Yeah, you gotta know who you're working with. Like Ray said, hey, can you? I'm not going to teach you to touch your toes if you can't touch your shins. You got to touch your shins first.
Yes.
I'm touching your toes.
I think one of the great things I learned from you, Sean, is that you don't need to start with the full swing. You just need to kind of start with the chipping motion, the small motion first, and then we start to graduate, right? As you used to say, like, we don't just start off on the triple diamond going down the hill,
Right.
right? I'm
Oh.
let's start small and progress forward.
Hey, let's go play golf on the black tees to start us off. Let's do
Yeah, there you
it.
go.
No, man. Nope.
I grew up on a par three course, Ray. I mean, I'm so glad I grew up on a par three course. My dad brought me there for the first 2 years, and you just learn. You're short. I probably would have been defeated if I started off on a regular length golf course when I was 13 years
Absolutely.
old, right? You want to, yeah. So, no, and then to your point, Ray, of what you do on that on the personal training world. Yeah, okay, Ray, I'm going to come in. I need to lose 25 pounds by, by 6 weeks from now. Well, I'm not your guy, right? Like, right?
Right.
Well, I when folks come to me, and it all depends on what their goal is, like I said, I'm enjoying working with golfers, and that's the role I want to go. And they say, I want to lose weight. Well, let's see what you're eating. Let's check it out. There's some folks out there that can survive off of one meal a day, and there's some folks out there that do 4 or 5 meals a day. I'm not saying either one of them is bad. We just got to figure out what works for you.
I mean, that's Michael Phelps. You read some of what his intake was during his training and stuff. But when you're expending that many calories, and you're that tall, and your heart's the size of a horse or whatever, like, there's all these different factors that come into play. But
Absolutely. So, but if someone came to me and said, "Hey, coach, I want to get better in golf, but I feel like I'm a little overweight," the first thing I would say is, "Let's just cut out soda. You drink soda? Let's cut out soda. Let's cut out soda for a week and see how you feel. Let's see how you feel after a week."
Can we
Absolutely.
not eat after 6 o'clock at night, right? Or those types of things.
Absolutely. One of the biggest devastators, I want to say, is bread.
Okay.
Bread. I had a client of mine. She was trying to lose some weight. And I said, do me a favor, Miss Amber, let me know how many sandwiches you eat in a day. And sure enough, she came back a week later and she said, wow, coach, I'm eating 2 to 3 sandwiches a day. I said, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of carbs, a lot of bread right there.
That's a lot of bread right there, brother. A lot of
I
bread.
Think it's funny, people don't think bagels are sandwiches or like
no, oh yeah. No, they're
like, oh.
delicious sandwiches.
Yeah.
But if you're eating a bagel breakfast sandwich in the morning, and then you hit up Chick-fil-A for a delicious chicken sandwich there,
yep.
and then you go home for maybe a delicious pasta dinner with some what? Garlic bread?
Yep.
But I think you bring up a great point there, Ray. I think a lot of people, they don't really realize what they're eating. You know, they're not really understanding what they're consuming. It's just a moment. And if you have them recorded or take a note of it, they really do kind of look and go, wow, I can't believe I'm eating this many calories. I mean, I think people just get lost in today's, busy society, and they forget about what they're eating or what it is they're putting in their mouth.
It's also the busyness of our lives now.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to get a sandwich.
And the convenience.
It's easier to get a delicious public sub,
And they are delicious.
Oh, they are delicious.
A little plug for Publix.
Publix, right on. Your subs are the bomb, boys.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's true. What's the now Florida versus Massachusetts different, but still you're still a human being. Like, I think this is the what was it? Three, I don't know. 2021. I stopped drinking Coke. I had a little challenge with my daughter. We tried to drink water for a month. That was April of 2021. I haven't had a Coke since.
Wow.
I'm not like patting myself on the back, but I was probably a 2 Coke a day guy, and so when I go out to dinner with somebody or whatever, like, are you going to have a drink? I'm like, no, I'm just going to have water. They're like, what do you mean? You got to have something. I'm like, no, water's not, like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I might have, tea in the morning or something to give me a little caffeine, but it's not, I don't know how to order off of Starbucks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how to order at Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah.
Yeah. If my wife doesn't order it for me, I'm lost on that too, friend.
Yeah.
Tim, John, neither do I. I mean, I'm a coffee guy. I drink espresso black coffee in the morning. Yep. But, they look at me strange if I was ever to go to Dunkin' Donuts or to Starbucks.
Right.
I tell them, at Starbucks, I've got it down. And, it's at 2 espresso shots there. And at Dunkin', it's 2 turbo shots. Thank you. No sugar.
You
That's
you
it. I figured it out,
That's great.
So to your point of like on the golf course, I mean, I don't think these are perfect, but I'm a Cliff Bar guy. Like that's my, I got 4 hours. I'm going to have some type of lunch prior to playing or breakfast. Let's go with the 9 a.m. tee time, 8 a.m. tee time. And I know it's going to be 11 a.m. and I know I'm going to start just the energy that you're putting into the game, whether it's mental or physical, because now we walk a lot more up here in Massachusetts than we do in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So we're walking up hills. You're walking probably 6-7 miles, and you're carrying your bag. So I look forward to that mint chocolate chip Cliff Bar with my water on number 10. Like I'm like, all right, if I make par on 9, I get to have my Cliff Bar. If I don't make par, I gotta wait till 11.
Yeah. I do the nature's best. I hope I'm saying it right.
Okay.
Yep. With the dark chocolate and the peanuts as well. Yes, absolutely. But No public subs.
No, right. But even those though, right? Like you look at some of the healthy, quote unquote healthy stuff. There's still a lot of caffeine in it.
Yeah.
You know, there's still quite a bit of sugars. Yeah. Like you just gotta
and
be
sodium.
Aware. I mean, I don't want. Yeah, sodium. Yeah, I don't want to eat cardboard. I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat. I want to have something that can taste a little bit good.
Yes.
But not. It doesn't have to be Reese's cup with a Sprite after 9 holes.
No, and it doesn't have to be the share pack, and you eat it all yourself.
Yeah,
there you go. Right. Yeah.
But if you want that Reese's, I tell people, get it. But if it's four of them in there, just eat one. If it's two, you know, share with your partner.
A little self-control, right?
A little bit goes a long way, but this is coming from the man who will sneak in the middle of the night and steal his lady's candy, okay? You know?
Gotta live. Still gotta live a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we got to sometimes. Yeah, we sure do.
Yeah. So I got a question for you, Ray. Basically, again, 53 years old. So when I went to college at University of Tampa, my college coach said, he said, all right, boys, if I find any one of you in the gym working out, you will be off this team.
Wow.
Period.
Yeah.
That's 1993, so 91, 92, 93.
Yeah.
All right. And even, you know, trust me, when you play high school golf and you don't get a lot of girlfriends because you're playing on the golf team, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't a very popular sport in 85 to 89.
Yes, sir.
You get my point?
But I got you, brother.
Yeah, my overall point is like, okay, so my college coach tells me you can't go near the gym. And we're all like, okay, great. Why would we go to the gym? Because our role models at that point, like Greg Norman had kind of just come on the scene. He was pretty fit. He was definitely fit for that age.
Oh.
Nicholas was strong, but he wasn't like a fit guy, if that makes sense.
Yes, sir.
Arnold Palmer, very, very strong. Mm-hmm. Again, a little bit of stomach. Craig Stadler, like Ian Woosnam, like these guys didn't look like they do now. And now they look like Dustin Johnson and Tiger Woods. And Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah. So, my long-winded question would be, Tom Watson was known for his forearms. Like, there's golfers that I know that have huge forearms, and it's really because you have strength in your butt, in your arms to kind of keep the face square.
Yeah.
So would you, kind of long-winded question, would you go core? Would you go, I like the flexibility thing. I'm the big core, plank, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go, like, Bryson talks about shoulders a ton. He really works on his shoulders and how strong they are because he's trying to pull.
Yep.
Kind of give the listener, you know, your synopsis of where to sort of start in the world.
All right. So if I would definitely tell him, go to the gym. All right. I'm 49 years old, and this is one of my favorite things to say to people. You know, I've been lifting weights for 20-something years, and I ain't big. All right. You know, it's training, it's genetics, it's also some supplements that we will not talk about, you know?
Okay. No.
Yeah. 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 But those are so I don't object to weight training at all, but if I'm talking to a fellow golfer, I tell them there's nothing wrong with pull ups, you know, being able to pull yourself up and do that, being able to work your core. Core is number one. I like to refer to it as my trunk. For me, the golf swing and the punch in boxing all start from the feet up.
Okay.
Kind of like a golf swing.
Yep.
It comes up and it releases out from where? From our hands and our arms and our hands. In boxing, it's a punch. In golf, it's the swing.
Right.
Yes, sir. So I try to tell people, focus on that. Focus on core. You know, get your trunk strong.
And my question would be, you know, I think Sean brings up a great point about how Bryson talks about the shoulders and stuff like this. I think each golfer and each athlete finds their own power source. Like, for me, I'm more of a leg guy. Like, I believe the power for me comes from the legs, like a Justin Thomas or something like that. So, you know,
I'm in the same category, Tim.
You know, so I think different athletes find different power sources. I think the harmony is when you can get all those power sources to work as one unit. Would you kind of agree with that, Ray?
I totally agree with that, 110%. But for me, like yourself, it starts with my legs as well. It starts from the feet, and it works its way up the entire body.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got a question. This is personal, but this summer, Ray and Tim, I've really been focusing on basically my hip speed and how fast I can rotate my left hip behind me, and that straightens my left leg, and that's the whole posting up concept and really using the ground to push off the ground with that left foot, right? So my hip speed, I've always had a really, like, the thing people, when they watch me and not being arrogant, is just I've got a very smooth tempoed golf swing. It looks very pretty. And that's because my role models were Ernie Els, Davis Love, and Freddie Couples. Like, that's where I got that from.
Yeah.
Beautiful swings.
Yeah, they're just beautiful, rhythmic, fast, but they're rhythmic, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so my, again, kind of where I'm going at is in boxing, I know, I love what you're saying. Like, you got to use the ground. I'm not going to produce that strong right hand into the body or into the face with an extension. I'm going to get to that in a second, without having my power come from the ground. Does that kind of make sense? And then how quickly I rotate my hip to get my arm to get to the guy's face.
Yeah,
absolutely. How fast that back foot can turn. We call it a pivot. We call it a pivot, you know, introducing into the hip. And then the final thing is the hand and the arm coming out. And even, and as I've taught many, many boxers before, there's a thing called hand fatigue, where they'll just sit there with their hands balled up in their gloves and they're not hitting anything.
Oh.
No. The only time your hand should be, you know, in a fist is at point of impact.
Okay.
Yes. It should not be clenched up in your gloves while you're waiting to throw a punch. They should be relaxed. Your phalanges should be relaxed inside of your gloves. And finally, when you go to get ready to throw that punch and all that kinetic energy is moving up through your body, from your shoulder, through your arm, out of your hand, that's at the point of impact is when you clench that fist, and that's when you get it.
Interesting.
And the same thing with a golf swing. I've learned myself with my own swing, the slower I take that club back, the slower I make that motion, boy, the socket to him, I give it to it when I finally get to that ball. But if I try to rush it, I'm pulling it left or slicing it right, you know?
Yeah. You've lost all your energy.
Yes,
right?
You have. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a great point. I didn't even know that. That's wonderful.
Yes, sir.
So we talk a lot. You know, I use a boxing analogy probably twice a week, right, in my golf lessons.
I love
it. So my boxing analogy is, at impact, I need your arms to be as extended as they can be at impact or post-impact from your body as possible. So we call it either alligator arms or Tyrannosaurus Rex arms when your arms are being pulled in towards your body, right? Hey, why am I topping it? My husband's telling me I'm lifting my head up. Nothing to do with your head. Your arm, your hands are coming in towards your body.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Any athletic sport that you do, and I will take the 60-year-old lady, I'll say, ma'am, if I was ever going to punch you, I would never punch you. But if I was ever going to punch you, I would never, and I stand real close to him, Ray, and I'm like, I would never punch you with my elbow bent. Yeah. I would stand back and I would rear back and have my arm fully extended into your face.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I said, that's when I'm producing the most power, flexibility, speed. That's happening after impact, not before impact, because they all think it happens right before. Nope. Mm-hmm. It's post-impact is what we're looking for.
Yeah.
And that's,
yes.
I guess I've never, but I mean, when you hit somebody boxing, you want to hit through them. You don't want to just hit the top of their face. You know what I'm saying?
No. You're punching through that person.
Yep.
One of my favorite ones as well, too, is when we're throwing a punch, we're throwing it with bad intentions. All right, you know. Hey, I ain't trying to make a friend. Okay,
nope.
You know, same thing when we're trying to hit that golf ball. You know, you know when you try to get up there and you try to be sweet and kind and let me just finesse it. You know, oh man, get up there and smack the shit out that ball.
Right. Yeah. What do they do? Right. They decelerate and they hit the ball to the right or the left and they wonder why they hit that.
All right.
Absolutely. Oh. Take it back slow and then bring it forward. I don't work with a lot of golfers' swings. I go with you know, swing your own swing. Mm-hmm. Let me just help you get better. I said I usually break it down with numbers. You know, how many times do we use our driver in an 18 round? Maybe 16, 15 times at the most.
Mm-hmm.
How many times are we hitting a 150 to 100 yard shot almost 72% of the time.
Wow.
So if I'm only using my driver 15, 16 times in a round of golf, why am I putting so much big focus on that? You know, let's work on 150. Let's work on 150 and under. Then once we get, once we lock down 150 and under, then we can work on 200 and under. Then we could go from 200 to 225. You know, so that's why that's how I try to break it down.
I mean, it sounds a lot like what me and Sean try to teach our students. Let's not try to go hit the home run first. Let's try to get the single and the double and the triple and and just kind of keep moving that progress forward. Because I think, you know, a lot of people get discouraged if they're not hitting that home run off the bat. And you got to teach them and bring them along slowly that, hey, this is a development process. And you've got to, you know, you've got to walk before you run.
That's why earlier I mentioned putting. I mean, how many times, Tim, John, have we made it on the green in two? And we four putt.
I can raise my hand on that one a couple times.
Ooh, boy. Oh, I've taken a chunk out the green before. Well, you know, God forgive me. You know, but yeah, that's how matters to me.
This is the cool thing about the podcast in general, Ray. I'm hope you understand that. Like that me and you've never talked, right? And we're talking you would sitting in the back porch having a drink of water or a Gatorade or whatever. Or,
absolutely.
Like, the whole point is that we get all these things, you know, that are symbiotic in our daily life of what you do, personal training, boxing, playing golf, what we do from our side. And I think that's the greatest part of what we do here on the podcast. So I appreciate you coming on. I got one more question for you.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. Again, I'm trying to keep these to like 5-minute questions, but basically, to produce speed and to hit it further, the club head has to be moving quickly, right? Quicker than it is currently. If you're only hitting 140-yard 7-iron, that means the club head's only moving 78 miles an hour through the impact zone. Okay. So I got to get it to go 84 miles an hour. So I need the club head to move faster. So I will tell you this, Ray. I can't tell you the number of lessons where I come up to the person and I say, all right, ma'am, sir, let me kind of start guiding the club for you. And I hold the shaft. I'm like maybe 2 inches below their hands, like just on the shaft of the club. They take the club back nice and smooth like you're talking about. They start coming down. Right before impact, that thing is so tight. Their hands are so tight on that shaft. You can feel it. Right? Yeah. You can feel them like, ma'am, sir, what do you think is going to happen at this point? We need this thing moving as fast as it possibly can be at this point. And if the ball's going to the right, there's a huge component of you holding onto that shaft so tight you're not allowing the club head to turn.
Yeah.
But we got to have some freedom. So I don't know if it's the same point as your punching analogy with a fist.
It is the exact same point.
I think it is.
Right? It sure is.
Yeah.
So this concept of like, it's not death grip by any means. It's not flimsy by any means. To your point of like, okay, when I'm going to get to the point of actually hitting the person, I'm going to clench my fist. It's kind of this riding this fine line of power, intentionality is the term I use. I like your term too. Mm-hmm. Being really intentional at the bottom. Don't be wussy. Don't be like kind of just like you said, trying to like, no, I got to be super intentional to hit the ball and through the golf ball. That's usually the driver concept, right? Hit through the ball with driver.
Yeah.
The face is real square. I can't just kind of lollygag my driver through impact. I'm going to hit it high and go right. So take that for whatever it is. But I think it's just great talking about the different sports.
The way I've tried to break it down to folks, and I've said, you know, when I've been out there on the range, which I don't, you know, if they're an avid golfer, or, you know, they're playing in high school, I don't like messing with nobody's swing, you know. But if it's someone I'm tutoring or I'm just helping out on the range, I said, don't choke the chicken, all right?
Yeah.
You don't need to choke them to death, all right? Act like you're holding two eggs in your hand, you know. You don't want to crush those eggs, but you want to hold them suckers firm. Yeah. So if you got to throw them at somebody, you're ready.
And that kind of comes back to, I mean, we had an earlier episode with Sean and he had a lesson with Tim Poulsen. I think Sean was a little shocked about how much you need to have the grip, you know, in your hands and your fingers, but how you still need to have that combination of not death gripping it, Is that kind of make sense, Sean?
Well, I think it's to Tim, to Ray's point too, right? And T-Mac, we talk about this all the time. So part of the reason Nicholas, I mean, you know, he's got a million things that he's good at, but one of the things he never did was he never grounded the golf club. And when you don't ground the golf club, when you start it from a position of consistent grip pressure from the beginning, instead of we have the club on the ground, and immediately people add pressure to their hands as they pick the club up, that is kind of a death knell, right? It's a reason. So as you can get, I'm not telling everybody, advocating everybody to kind of not ground the club, but Jim Flick told him that at the beginning, and he learned it that way, and he never deviated from that way. So it just allowed him to always have consistent grip pressure. And I think that's what it comes down to, is don't add pressure as you get right to the bottom of the swing or to the extension of the punch. I don't know if we're saying this the same way.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Focus on your form, your technique.
Yep.
And that's the key right there. I've always said, especially in the boxing world, you know, I could make you punch 300 punches in one round, but what good is that? I would value 125 with good form and good technique than to make you punch 300 punches, you know?
I'll let you take that one, T-Mac. Go ahead.
I think that's a great analogy for me and Sean. I mean, I think we tell our students, you know, I'd rather see 10 quality good shots out of that basket of 100 balls that you're just jonesing to hit. But, you know, if you just rapid fire through 100 balls or 50 balls, you don't develop any of that feel or anything like that. We all advocate quality over quantity. And I think that's the point that we all try to get to as coaches.
But I think it's gotten to a point where, you know, you hear the one, if you do something 10,000 times, you'll master it. Well, if you do it 10,000 times bad, you're still going to master it bad. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Yeah, what the hell are you talking about, you know?
Well, I think you make a great point, but people just don't want to put in the time. They want it immediate. Like, they're thinking, I'll just hit 1,000 balls a day and I'll get there. It's a slow progression. You know, it might be, you know, 10 quality shots. Like, you know, Tiger said when he was coming back, he would hit a, you know, two or three good shots out of a basket of balls, and he knew he was making progress if he hit three or four the next day. And you've got to have that kind of mindset when you're going, instead of just, hey, I'm going to hit 1,000 balls because I hit 1,000 balls. Yeah, does that make sense as well? Yeah,
it makes total sense. I forgot the gentleman's name, because it was over, you know, 20 something years. You know, I'm 49 now, so it's 30 years ago. You know, he gave me a jewel when I was on the driving range, and if I started, he says, always start with your lowest clubs, your wedges and your irons. You know, and anything that had a letter on it, you hit 10 balls with it. Anything that had a number with it, you hit that number of balls with it. Yep.
Interesting.
And so that's how I would go. Yeah, so I would go up in clubs. You know, I'd go 6 iron, I'd hit 6 balls. And if I'd go with my 4 iron, I'd hit 4 balls, you know. Mm. And then with the driver, of course, if I had a 3 wood, I'd hit 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I had a 5 wood, you know, I'd hit 5 of them, you know. And then with the big driver, I'd only hit, you know, 1 or 2. And that's how I would work my practice that way.
Making it into games.
I apologize, Ray. I'm probably going to steal that one from you. Sorry.
Hey, Sean. It's all good, brother. I don't mind. I tell people, if you've got a wedge that's like a 56 or a 60 degree, you know, just double that number. That 60 degree, make that 12 balls. That 56, make it 11.
I'm going to make them hit 56, Ray. I'm gonna hit 56. I think that's the best club to warm up with anyway, so, yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. But I've used that practice philosophy for many, many years. I've passed it on to other, you know, friends and fellow golfers as well, too. You know, just, you know, you ain't got to get out there and hit 1,000 balls. It ain't like that, you know. You ain't got to go to the gym and squat 400 pounds and put it on the YouTube. You know, it ain't all that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a thing too. Like, and I've heard somebody say this, like, it didn't take me, you know, it took me 6 months to put on 15 pounds of weight, meaning like I got a little heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I think I could get that off in 3 weeks? Like, it might take me 6 months to get 15 pounds off. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Well, Sean, I know Tim remembers this when we were in school, because we did attend the same high school. Go Bulldogs.
Go Dogs.
And
Hey,
yeah, go Dogs.
I coach there, right? I coach your high
Awesome.
school. I coached the boys team for 4 years. Tim
State
helped me out
champ,
a little bit.
right? Didn't you guys get state
Yeah,
champ? Or
no, don't
regional?
get crazy now. Yeah, we'll keep going.
District?
Conference, there you go.
Conference, okay. I knew it was something.
Go Dogs, go Dogs. Well, Sean, I want to say go Spartans for you for go playing in Tampa. By the way, I wanted to throw that out there. But when we were in school, I remember Tim's dad didn't let him play football. It was baseball. It was baseball and golf. That was it. They just for myself, they just needed a body on the team. I was a fifth quarter starter. So, but it gave me the opportunity to be part of a team when I came from just an individual sport like boxing. And then after football season, we wasn't doing much, so that's when I was introduced to golf. And my first golf course I ever played was, Southport, right here in Zephyr Hills. And I'm still adamant. I still love the course to this day. It gave me such a great feeling of being out there, and just the camaraderie I have with my boys, And now I go play by myself. That's how much enjoyment I have of the game, you
Awesome.
know.
That's
My lady, my lady will be talking. I'll be on my way home from because I work for the Department of Corrections, so I handle internet for and telephone for correctional institutions. So I'll be on my way home from an institution. And Tim, my favorite spot right off of 75 is Tampa Bay Golf Country Club. I hit that 9-hole right there.
There you go.
You know what I mean? I get it done in a lunch hour, and it's perfect.
Absolutely, that's a great little par three they've got over there at Tampa Bay Golf and Country Club. I'd encourage
great.
More of my players and students to go there and play instead of trying the big tracks.
Yeah, it's a great feel. It puts us in the dynamic of 200 yards and under, and that's where you're gonna win the game, and on the putting green, gentlemen, and on
Absolutely.
the putting green.
So, Ray, before we break, what are some future trends or future things that you see for Fit for Life? What do you guys got on the horizon for your company? Tell us.
Well, we're gonna try to get our social media up and running a little bit better. Right now, I'm on YouTube at Coach Ray. I'm on Facebook as well as Coach Ray, but we want to migrate more to Fit for Life. We're going to get our .com back up and running for 2025.
Great.
And we just want to start putting out quality content.
Good. Good. And what's the website again? Tell us again. Tell our viewers.
It's www.fitforlifeflorida.com.
That's great. That's great. So, and one last question I would have for you. If you had a foursome, who would it be?
All right. Well, number one, it would be my dad playing. Unfortunately, I lost him at the age of 5. So I would love to play a round of golf with my dad.
That's great.
Yep, that would be the number one person I would have. Number two would be Mesa Harris. She did such a great, things for golf in the Tampa Bay area, for women's golf as well too.
Yeah.
And and I would say, number four would be Jack Nicklaus. I just think he's awesome,
Pretty good group of guys right there. Pretty good group right there.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun, I would think.
Yep. I would definitely enjoy that round of golf.
That's great. That's great. So,
right.
So, Sean, did you have any other questions for Coach Ray tonight?
No, I feel like it's one that we need to get him back on, because we covered a bunch, but we can still more, there's still more to cover in the future. So as I'm excited to see his progress as his company keeps going. And, we just got a lot of similar things to talk about. And good for you, Ray. Good for what you're doing. Go
Thank
Bulldogs.
You.
Go Spartans. And, we'll talk again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, Tim and Sean, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate it. I can't tell you how you can't wipe the smile off my face. I've been smiling for an hour, brother.
I appreciate you, sir.
I just want to tell you, listeners, a quick little story.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of these golf courses, you have the opportunity on a par three to bet $5 and the chance to win $10,000. Well, folks, do it, okay? All right, do it. Because in 2019, Coach Ray hit his first hole in one. But did not bet the $5 to win the 10 grand.
Oh, man.
Yes, yes.
Differently. That's funny.
No, brother. And I tell everybody this. I still remember the pro even. He said, you guys want to bet $5 on the par three challenge? I looked at that gentleman right in his face, and I told him, I've been playing golf for 25 years, man. It hasn't happened yet. It's not going to happen.
Never say never
and bet the $5, people. All right. It's $5.
That's good stuff, man. That's great, man. So yeah, Ray, we'd love to get you back on the show here in the future. I think there's so much more that we could go over, especially for most of our students. I really enjoy the idea that how much cross-pollinating that, you know, each sport has. You know, there's a lot of things, similarities with what you do and what we do. So I think our listeners got a great lesson today. So I want to say thank you, and thank you to the listeners at Dynamic Golf.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it, and I would love to be on your podcast again.
All right. Talk soon, guys. Talk soon.
All right.
Take care. Have a great night, everybody.
See you guys. Yeah. Stay safe through the hurricane.